everybody. Glad to have y'all here this morning. Who besides me has been thinking about heaven lately? I know I have. So y'all please stand up as we sing When We All Get to Heaven. I know you all think about heaven because when I'm looking out there, I see smiles on all your faces when we're singing this song. Amen. We all bow your heads. We open up with a word of prayer. Dear Lord God, I thank you that you have given us the promise of heaven through your Son, Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for us and brought us back unto you, God. And I thank you and I praise you. Lord, I ask your anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon our service and upon our worship and upon our pastor as he brings your holy word to us today, God. Speak powerfully through him and change our hearts into what you want us to be. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You can remain standing. I'm not going to be here very long. So please read your bulletin. Read your bulletin. Yes, please. Youth group tonight, 5 to 7, men's and boys night, May 23rd at 5 o'clock. We're from Annie Brothers. If you're going to go to that, either text me or call me or sign up above the water cooler. We need to make a reservation. VBS information, community breakfast is coming on May 23rd as well. Need all the help there we can get over at Quinn Memorial in downtown Steubenville. And then if you look down and almost at the bottom of your bulletin, but not quite, it says needed. The mission team needs an upright freezer, so we're looking for something that is maybe used or in good working condition. We're willing to pay for it, or if you're willing to donate it, whatever. But if you have something like that and that you're trying to get rid of, the mission team is interested in it, okay? and begin to pray for the Mission Motorcycle Run. Safety, safety, safety. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Larry. Well, keeping on with our heaven theme this morning, we don't belong here. We belong in heaven.
Sometimes it feels like I'm watching from the outside. Sometimes it feels like I'm breathing. Am I alive? I won't keep searching for answers. Aren't here to find. All I know is I'm not home yet. This is not where I belong. Take this world and give me Jesus. This is not where I belong. So when the walls go falling down on me, and when I'm lost in the current of a raging sea, I have this blessed assurance holding me.
Still here on this earth, Jesus asks us to do one thing, and that's for us to be his light. The people, when they look at us, that they see him.
All throughout my history, your faithfulness has walked beside me. Storms made way for spring, and every season from where I'm standing, I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment. All over my life, all over my life. Help me remember when I'm weak. The fear may come, the fear will leave. Lead my heart to victory. their promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. See the cross, the empty grave, the evidence is endless. All my sins go away, 'cause of you, oh Jesus. See the cross, the empty grave, the evidence is endless. All my sins go away.
Laid down, I'm surrendered.
every breath that I am able.
Oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God.
'Cause all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness.
So good. You are so good. You are so kind. You are perfect. You are marvelous. You're too beautiful for words to even to describe. So Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us, all that you're going to do for us. Lord, we are coming with an expectation that you will move powerfully today in and through your word and your people. So, Lord, we just come, Lord, and we worship you. We lift up this worship to you. And, Lord, we as a church today want to partner with the Rededicate 250 that is going on today. Lord, we want to partner with them in our prayers that this entire world, our entire nation, our entire state, our states and communities, Lord, will rededicate themselves to you. And Lord, that you will be the only thing that is worshiped. You are the only true God. You are the King of Kings, and you are the Lord of Lords. So we partner with them in our prayers, Lord, that we would see a great revival move throughout our states, throughout our country, Lord, and that you will be elevated, you will be lifted up, and you will be worshiped, and you alone. And so, Father, we come with that heart, with that attitude of worship today, that as we come to the giving of our tithes and our offerings, that we would be just as generous to you as you have been to us, and that, Lord, we will take these gifts that are put in here and we will use it to the further of the sharing of your word, the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ, simply the message that Jesus saves in Christ alone, through faith alone. So, Lord, we just want you to be elevated and lifted up. And so, Lord, as always, as I come through the preaching of your word, Lord, I pray that you take me out of it. Your Holy Spirit will consume me and you take over. And, Lord, if I am going to say something that is not true or right, silence me, Lord. Please silence me. Not allow me to speak it. Why? Because this is not for my glory. It is for yours. So, Lord, we lift you up above all things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. And Mike is right. You are a wonderful looking crowd. A lot of smiles out there today. I'm happy to see that. You know, one thing about smiling, it becomes contagious. When somebody else, when you see somebody smile, it has a tendency to make you smile. It's kind of like yawning, you know what I mean? So, but yeah, it's good to see you all. Well, if you got your copy of God's Word, we're going to be in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. So back 6 or 7 years ago now, at the tail end of 2019, we were all introduced to an unseen microscopic virus that would literally change the world, and it did change the world, and that virus was known as COVID, right? Right? And through that whole thing of COVID, oh Lord, I wish I could forget it. I really do. Just so you know, every pastor in the United States, that was a no-win situation, just so you know. But through that whole thing of COVID, we just did the best that we could do, amen? We did all that we knew to do, which was not much of anything that we knew, right? We were told, get home, get in your house, don't go out unless it's absolutely necessary. Schools closed down, businesses closed down, churches closed down. The truth is, everything pretty much closed up and closed down, amen? And if you had to go out, you know, if you did have to go out, you know, all these precautions that had to be taken, you know, you had to put on a mask. Remember, you had to wear all these masks, right? You couldn't go out without a mask. It was kind of funny, and I thought it was kind of funny. Don't throw anything at me, but I thought it was kind of funny. You'd be driving down the road, you look in a car next to you, nobody in the car but one person in the car all by themselves, and they got a mask on, right? And then you're doing that and you see that, then you go down to the grocery store, right? And you go down to the grocery store, and you're in the grocery store, and you see all these people with masks on, and it's down here, right? I don't know, but you had to know that something was not right. You had to know to stay far apart from each other. Remember that? We had to stay how far? 6 feet, remember? And there was just this terror. On top of that, there was just this terror that our health departments and our governments imposed on us that you didn't know what to believe or not, or what you shouldn't believe, right? And so many voices just chattering, yeah, that's a joke, this is all this, no, it's real, this is that. But at the same time, all this chatter and everything's going on, we're watching people die every day with COVID. We didn't know what it was, or how it was all going to shake out, to the point that the whole world was wrapped up in all of this uncertainty. And still to this very day, as we seen last Wednesday, where a whistleblower came forward to testify under oath about these very things that I'm talking about. Well, that period of terror gives us just an inkling, just a kind of a speck, just kind of an inkling into how people in biblical times viewed and feared leprosy. They were terrified of it. And it was much worse than COVID in that they were, it was much worse than COVID in the way that they treated people who came down with it, right? And you want to talk about precautions. Now watch, you want to talk about precautions. It was unreal, the precautions that they took and the way they shut out people who had leprosy. It was beyond just being quarantined. Well, we're going to look at that today. We're going to look at that because one of the greatest I will statements of Jesus, which this is the third one we're going to be looking at in Luke, where he says, I am willing, be cleansed, and it's found in Luke chapter 5. And Jesus talks and speaks with and touches this leper, so you will find out just exactly what kind of Savior Jesus truly is through this text. Now, the interesting thing is the context in which this is placed. Context is everything. You got to see how it's placed in this context. Now, you remember, I took you to earlier in this series, I took you to Matthew, and I took you to the passage where Jesus came across Andrew, Peter, and James, and John, and he said what? Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, right? And now you're going to come to Luke's gospel, the 5th chapter, and you're going to see Luke's accounting of how Jesus called Andrew and Peter. Now remember, these guys tell it all from a different perspective. Because if you remember, Matthew is really speaking to the Jews, specifically to the Jews, right? And Mark is speaking to the Romans. And here, Luke is speaking to the Greeks because he's writing this because there's a guy by the name of Theophilus who asked Luke to do the research and write him the story of Jesus. And so you've got that in Luke's gospel right here. And Luke gives you this account right here. He gives you this account of the way he saw that carried out of how Jesus called Andrew and Peter. Well, Jesus called them, and what did they say? He said, listen, I want you to come, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, as they leave that moment, that's what Jesus calls them, and they did, and it says immediately, right? They came, right? Now, as they leave that moment, there in Luke chapter 5, let me ask you this question. Who was the very first person they came across? It was the leper. It was the leper. And Jesus is going to demonstrate, see, it's in the context, right? And Jesus is going to demonstrate his tremendous desire and deep passion to save men. So they came across this leper who was full of leprosy. He was a castaway. He was rejected, and he was rejected by everyone in society, everywhere. And Jesus healed this guy. He cleansed this guy. Now, when they read this, many focus on the miracle of Jesus healing this man. But let me tell you something. This is really about salvation, not just doing away with a disease. It's more about showing us how the disease of sin operates in an unbeliever's life. And so you're going to see how Jesus shows, how he's going to show these new disciples, right? He's going to show his disciples, these guys that he had just told, I will make you fishers of men. I believe Jesus is going, he's demonstrating, he's showing to them that this is the kind of people you should be fishing for right here. These are the people I want you to go fishing for. Now, I believe that Jesus is saying, I want you to reach the outcast, the neglected, the rejected, those people who are in their sin. Those people whose lives are ruined and wrecked, right? Those are the people that I've come to save, and that's what Jesus is saying to them. That's what he's trying to show them. And so Jesus gives us a very clear picture. As soon as he says to Andrew, Peter, James, and John, you come, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. Then he points and he says, this is the kind of fish I want you to catch right here. It is the kind of person. This is the kind of person I want you to go after. Now, I want you to keep that in mind, keep all that in mind as we work through these verses. Now, this is very short, it's not very long, and yet God puts it in each one of these Gospels. He's got it there, so it's important for us to read, and the reality is, I bet you Jesus didn't spend 15 to 20 minutes with this guy. Now, just to let you know, it's going to take me longer to preach it than it did for him to do it, all right? So let me give you two things, all right? Number one, I want you to see this. Point number one, I want you to see this. The familiarity in the face of this leper. I want you to see the familiarity in the face of this leper. In other words, I want you to see yourself in this guy's face, meaning you and I are not a whole lot different than he is. Now, you come to verse 12, and Luke writes this as if being startled. You have to get this, right? You get this because he comes up on this leper. You got these guys, they come up on this leper, I'm going to try to show this to you, that Luke writes this as if he's being startled. Luke 5, chapter 5, verse 12. And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, there was a man full of leprosy. Now, that word behold right there, that word behold should always be used with an exclamation point, meaning like this, look, like, whoa, can you believe that? That's how that should be. It should always be with an exclamation point, meaning this is, Luke is startled because this man, a leper covered with leprosy. What's leprosy? Well, I'm going to get into detail on that, but basically it's big bumps, open wounds, discoloring of the skin, disfigurement, sores, oozing out, highly contagious, right? So this leper covered with leprosy is close to the city, and Luke is startled by that because that never happened. So they look, behold, look! It kind of startled, caught him off guard, because a leper would... Listen, if a leper got caught out in public like that, they would stone him. They would stone him to death if they got too close. Therefore, a leper had to stay, watch, we thought 6 feet, right? We thought, good Lord, how are we going to stay 6 feet away? They had to stay 50 yards away. Try that in the school, Heather. They had to stay, now look, let me put that in prison. That's a half of a football field away. They had to stay away from people and was always put out of, they were always put out of the camp of Israel. They was always made to leave the camp of Israel. And it was always put out of society. He or she had to leave. Well, on this day, this leper, he would wander in out of Judean wilderness. That's probably where he lived. And a little camp of, they would, all the lepers would go into all their own little camp, and they would camp there together. So they had this little camp of lepers where all the lepers just kind of settled in together. But never, ever would they go into the city. And that's why when you come to Luke, Luke is startled about this. Caught him off guard. And remember this, Luke was a what? He was a doctor. And listen to the diagnosis. He gives a diagnosis here. You probably didn't catch it, did you? Luke was a doctor, and listen to the diagnosis. Notice how he put it. He said he was full of leprosy, meaning he was completely covered in the disease. Full-blown leprosy, right? Indicating he was in the final stages of the disease just before it took his life. And get this, leprosy begins with fatigue. Oh, I got your attention now, don't I? Leprosy begins with fatigue. I'm going to get your attention even more in just a second. Leprosy begins with fatigue. You just wake up, I'm exhausted, I'm tired, I'm just give out, right? And then what happens is your joints begin to get sore. Now let me ask, who all here has the symptoms of leprosy right now? Right? Well, that's how it starts. I'm just saying, okay? And then there's going to be this hard nodule that will come up on your skin somewhere, and it will be ashen, meaning it will be white in color, and then it will begin to change different colors until it becomes a scale. It becomes like dead skin, and if you've ever had any dead skin on you, it gets white, it gets flaky, it gets, you know, scaly. And so now you just see a person who is covered, and they're just as white as can be all over. And the disease would eventually eat away at the body. It didn't just stop there. That's not where it stopped. That was just the beginning phase. But then it would begin to eventually eat away at the body, starting with the digits. Pieces of your fingers would fall off, and what was left would end up drawing back into the hand, leaving nothing but a nub. And toes would do the same thing, either falling off or drawing back into the feet, shrinking them so that there was nothing left but a stump to walk on. And most lepers reached a point where they couldn't walk or talk, as it affected their vocal cords as well. And it would eat the nose back into the skull. And the face looked almost like a skull. And pieces of the ear would begin to fall off, and the nerve endings in the skin would die. So the leper could go out and step on a nail or pick up something in their foot or something, or pick up something scalding hot and never ever feel it. So understand, when it comes to pain, we all have that, right? Pain's not a bad thing. Pain is purposeful because it warns you to get away from something or signals that something bad has happened. Well, they couldn't feel that. The leper became desensitized to absolutely everything. Their eyesight and their voice began to fail. They would develop lesions on the internal organs that would eventually split open, poisoning the bloodstream and leading to an agonizing death. And we thought COVID was bad. And it was, right? But this, it was horrible. It was horrific, which is why they were put out. That's why they were isolated, and people didn't want to get close to them because it was highly contagious. But the text uses this to say, watch this. The text uses this to say, because this is the way sin operates in your life. It starts out kind of easy, but it just starts eating away. That's why this leper, in my opinion, that's why this leper is the perfect person to come along right after Jesus says, and right after Jesus says in Luke 5, verse 10, do not fear, from now on you will be catching men. And this is the kind of guy. This is the kind of guy I want you guys to go after. It's somebody that is so full of sin in their lives. And so in our text, leprosy becomes that. Leprosy represents sin. And sin makes it impossible, right? And sin makes it impossible for you to go up to the temple of God. And that you can no longer go to the synagogue. You can't go to church. You can't worship. For a Jew, you can no longer go to the temple and offer sacrifices. You can no longer be a part of worship in any kind of way whatsoever. So why was that? Well, it's because Israel always saw leprosy as the result of sin. Always. That's just the way they viewed it. If you had leprosy, if you had leprosy, it meant you or somebody close to you sinned. Therefore, in their view, in their belief, this man sinned in some kind of way to bring this on himself. Now, do you remember what Miriam, how when Miriam attacked her brother Moses, leprosy popped out on her? Do anybody remember how that happened? Right? She went to her brother Moses and attacked her. Miriam went and attacked her brother Moses, and leprosy broke out on her. Penny, watch it. Better be nice to me. All right, just saying, throwing that out there. Well, anyway, that was leprosy. It was a terrifying thing. It was horrific. It was terrifying. It was seen. It was seen as the judgment of God. And that's the way the Jews understood it. Now, do you remember in John chapter 9 when the disciples came across the man born blind and they asked, and when they came across this man and they asked Jesus, who sinned? This man or his parents? Who sinned? This man or his parents? That he was born blind like this. Who sinned? Whose fault is it because he was born blind like this? And Jesus looks and he said, No. And Jesus told them, he says, you all got this whole thing wrong. You've got things all mixed up here. And Jesus tells them, this is for the glory of God. God will get glory out of this. But they didn't believe that. That's not how they understood things like this. Because that's not the way they interpreted these kind of things. So this man just wasn't a leper. He was a sinner to the point to where God had brought judgment down on his life. Full of leprosy, completely full of leprosy. It changed everything about him. He was separated from his family, put out from the temple. He was put out of the synagogue. He was put out of his home. He couldn't be around his wife. He couldn't be around his children. He couldn't be around his work associates. He couldn't be around his friends anymore, his neighbors, or even his extended family. In fact, he couldn't even stay in the city. They had to put him out. Now, can you imagine a man's loneliness at that moment? Could you imagine how he felt at that moment? The rejection, the isolation. being separated from everybody with no fellowship. And I'm sure he longed to have fellowship. I'm sure he longed to see somebody, to listen to somebody, to talk to somebody, and yet there was nobody there, and he couldn't be around anybody whatsoever, not even his own family, not even his wife. Well, believe it or not, this is exactly a picture of sin in life, which separates you from people. I watch it all the time. Unfortunately, I'm sad to tell you this, I watch it all the time. Sin in a person's life leads to bad marriages. Am I right? It leads to bad home lives. It leads to bad relationships with children and friends. Broken families. And no fellowship with people, with the people of God anymore. Right? Because when I'm in my full-blown sin, the last people I want to be around is you. They're simply on the outside of the community of God and others and longing to get back, and yet their sin separates them. And it gets bad because they are no longer sensitive to their sin. They have become desensitized. Their sin has completely taken them over, and they to their sin. It has consumed them and it has isolated them. And now they sin. Now they sin because it's simply the thing to do. No longer is there any more conviction, which is a very, very bad place to be. I have warned you before that when you no longer come under conviction because of sin, you are in a very terrifying place. So here is this guy out there by himself with no hope whatsoever because, listen, people are not cured from leprosy. It was a death sentence. In fact, throughout all of Scripture, no one is cured of leprosy without a direct intervention from God. How do you get cured from sin? Even the king, when Naaman, the commander of the Syrian army who had leprosy, goes to the king of Israel to be healed in 2 Kings chapter 5, the king said, "Who do you think I am, God? I can't heal a man with leprosy." So everyone understands that a leper was a leper until they died, unless that is God himself simply stepped into the situation. Well, I'm sure that this man had no hope like that. Because here was a man full of leprosy, consumed, overtaken, isolated by leprosy. Now, right, this is where we're at. Now, I've gotten you halfway through verse 12, so let's go back to verse 12, right? Let's pick up the second half. "And he fell on his face and implored him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.'" Saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Now, remember, this man was in the city, so I can't help but wonder, was he there looking for Jesus, right? You have to think that, right? This man was in the middle. He shouldn't have been there. I mean, the risk was his death. I guess he's going to die anyways. I mean, I guess you figure out, right? I don't know. But he's looking for Jesus, and and he falls on his face and begs Jesus. You say, "Well, how do you know he begged Jesus?" Because that's what the word implore means. That's what it means. He begged Jesus. He fell on his face and he begs Jesus. He was begging. He's pleading with him. "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." Now, my brain always asks these questions. That's just what my brain does. It always asks these questions. First, how did he hear about Jesus to begin with? Remember, he's isolated and off, right? Since he was isolated away and around only other lepers, the only thing actually, unless somebody newly afflicted with leprosy showed up and said, "Hey, Jesus is going to be in town," right? But the truth is, I don't know how he found out. But for some reason, this guy believed that Jesus would be unlike everybody else, amen? That Jesus would accept him, that Jesus would be kind to him and Jesus would have compassion and mercy on him. So he sees Jesus, the leper, he sees Jesus, and he comes up to Jesus and he falls down on his face. Now, I think there are two things that are being said here. Because when he falls down on his face before Jesus, it's kind of interesting because I think he falls down in humiliation. Now, remember, leprosy equals sin, right? He falls down in humiliation. What are you getting at? Oh, don't look at me. Don't look at me. I'm a horror to look at. I'm a fright to look at. I am terrible. So much of my face has been eaten away. So much of my body has been ravaged by this disease. You don't need to look at me. Oh, it's horrific. Don't look at me. Can you see it? So you don't need to put your eyes on me, Jesus. It'll cause you to draw back in disgust. And so out of humiliation, he drops down to the ground. He drops down on his face to the ground. Now let me show you something. You got your Bibles right there in chapter in the same chapter, Luke 5. Look back to verse 8. Luke chapter 5, verse 8. When Jesus was in, remember when Jesus was in the boat with Simon Peter, and Peter saw who Jesus was and what had happened with the great catch of fish, right? That Peter fell down at Jesus' feet. Remember? He fell down at Jesus' feet saying, what? Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Now that was signaling, right? That was signaling that Peter was embarrassed and humiliated, saying, don't look, look. He's saying, Peter was saying, don't look into my life. Don't look into me. I have so much sin. Don't look into my life. Do you realize that Jesus can look into each and every one of our lives right now? So let me ask, where should we all be right now? Well, like Peter, the leper falls at Jesus' feet. In the very next miracle in Luke chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, the four men bringing the paralyzed man through the roof and set him down at Jesus' feet. So all three, Peter, the leper, the paralyzed man, are now at the feet of Jesus in the same chapter, chapter 5, right? And here is another interesting thing Jesus is doing in this chapter. He calls Andrew and Peter, James and John to follow him and become fishers of men. And he comes to the leper and he makes him clean. And then Jesus comes to the paralyzed man and he says in Luke chapter 5, verse 20, he comes to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven you. Which that got him into trouble with the Pharisees, if you remember. And Jesus asked them in Luke chapter 5, he asked the Pharisees in Luke 5, 23, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or say, rise up and walk. So Jesus tells the man to get up and walk, and the guy does, right? Then what does he do next in the very same chapter? What does he do next? He comes to Matthew, who is seen as the chief of sinners, right? He comes to Matthew, who is seen as the chief of sinners, because why? Because Matthew was a tax collector, having sided with the Roman occupiers. And understand, the Jews had no greater sinner than a tax collector or a publican. In their view, that's how they seen him. In their mindset, there was no greater sinner than them. And Matthew was a tax collector, and Matthew throws a party, right? Matthew comes along, he throws a party, and he invites not the religious elite of Jerusalem, but he invites every prostitute that he can find, every tax collecting man that he can find. Now, you talk about a party, that's a party, right? He invites them all, and Jesus shows up at the party. What? What did you say? Jesus shows up at that party. What do you think? Jesus just sat around on the temple steps all day? Just, God bless you as you go by? Wish you well? No. Jesus was there. Because you want to know why? Because Jesus went where the sinners were. He went fishing for men where lost men were. You see me? Now, I can imagine Matthew in this party. I can imagine Matthew standing up at the party and saying, hey, Jesus, tell them who you are. Jesus, go ahead, stand up here. Right? Now you got the atmosphere, right? So this whole chapter is about sin and people being saved from sin, saved from a wretched life, just like this guy in our text today, the leper, right? So humiliation for sure would be one reason he falls at Jesus' feet, but the other reason is desperation. Ooh. First one, humiliation. The second one is desperation, because this guy has nowhere else to go. He's out of options. He has nowhere else to go. He's thinking, I've done everything I can do. I've been to everybody I can go to. I've seen every expert. I've traveled clear over here to go to this doctor. I traveled clear over here to go to that doctor. I went to this specialist. I went to that specialist, right? And nobody can do a thing in the world for me. When you're in that place, you're in a desperate place. So he looks and he says, I'm just going to fall right here at your feet, Jesus, because I've heard about you. I've heard, right? As I fall down right here at your feet, nobody's going to touch me to pick me up, just like every other time. Nobody will touch me. Nobody will have anything. Nobody will talk to me. Nobody's going to pick me up or move me over. Nobody's even going to roll me over. They're not even going to roll me out of the way so the camels can get through. I'm just going to lay right here in desperation. And if you don't do anything, I'm just going to die. Honestly, I honestly think that was the determination in this guy's heart. I think he was just so close to death and so sick and so weary. You know where you're talking? You ever been there? Some of you, I know. He just fell down there at the feet of Jesus and said, if you don't do it, I'm gone. I'm done. I believe he was at the point of desperation saying, you either heal me or I die. You either heal me, Lord, or I die. But I know you can do it. You can save me. You can heal me. So the leper, he looks up as he's there. He I don't know if he looks up, but the leper there on his face before Jesus, and he says this. He says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Now, let me make this very clear. Very clear. He is not saying, if you are able. He's not saying, if you're capable. He's not saying, if you're talented enough or experienced enough that you can do this. He's stating, I know you can do it. Lord, if you're willing, I know that you can do it. So the issue is not being able. The issue was not of Jesus being able. It wasn't an issue of this guy's faith. It wasn't an issue of his faith. He already knew. The issue is the willingness of Jesus Christ. The leper falling before him in desperation is saying, he's falling before him in desperation saying, you have the power. You do have the ability. This is who you are. I've heard about you. And I've heard about all that you've done. I know that you can do this. I believe that you can do this. You can make me clean. I know you can. So this guy understood that it is not his ability. Watch. It wasn't his ability to heal himself, but in Jesus' willingness to do so. And it's also the same with the sin in our lives. It's not our ability, but it's his willingness to do so, to forgive us of our sins through believing and trusting in Him. That we know that He can. Right? Now, I want to tell you something. If that's not an act of faith, I don't know what is. And I want you to notice something else. I want you to notice something else here. He doesn't say, I want you to heal me. He doesn't say, I want you to make me whole. He comes and he says, listen, this is speaking from his own emotion and his own mind. This is what he's coming. This is what he's telling the Lord Jesus and what I believe from studying this text. He says, I'm filthy and I need to be cleansed. I'm filthy and I need to be cleansed. You know what that is right there? That's pure truth. Just being purely truthful before God. Because that is the greatest need of any lost man or woman right there. It's not to have their hair done. It's not to have a new sports coat. It's not to have a new Louis Vuitton purse or a new gun. But my greatest need is I need to be made clean because I'm dirty. And let me give you the second thing. The second thing I want you to see is this, is the willingness of Jesus to save us. The willingness of Jesus to save us, to cleanse us. Now, I've gotten you through verse 12, and I want you to see verse 13, right? Look, then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately, the leprosy left him. Now, Leviticus 13 and 14 are long. They're in the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus, chapters 13 and 14. They are long, detailed chapters, and they deal with leprosy. One thing stated in Leviticus 13 is that you do not touch a leper. You do not touch him or his clothes or even go into his house. In fact, there is an elaborate cleansing process, elaborate cleansing ritual that the priest would have to go through for cleansing himself if he entered a house where someone had leprosy or saw a spot on the wall that the leper touched, that you cannot touch the guy or anything that he has been around or touched. You can't be around it, right? Yet we are told, then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Now, so many question this. I know probably all of you did. But truthfully, so many question this in the theological world. What are they questioning? This is what they're questioning. Did Jesus break the Mosaic law when he reached out to touch the leper? Because that was forbidden under the Mosaic law given by Moses, right? Well, G. Campbell Morgan, an expository preacher in the late 1800s and early 1900s, and pastor of the Westminster Chapel in London, said that as Jesus reached out, he was speaking the words, I am willing. As he's reaching out, he says, I am willing. That as the words came out of his mouth, before his hand actually got to the leper was already healed. Therefore, Jesus did not break the law of Moses, because by the time he put his hands on the man was fully clean. The man with full-blown leprosy, and everything that I had just previously explained to you, down to the point that he comes and falls at the feet of Jesus and is willing to die right there in that spot. So, I want you to think. Think about that split second when Jesus said, be cleansed. Now, do you know all what would have had to have happened and taken place in that split second? Think about it. Well, everything I explained to you. In that split second, do you realize everything that would have taken place? Just think of this. Be clean. How long does it take me to say that? Donnie, I see you got your phone right there. You got your phone right there? Put your timer on. I'm going to say, be clean, right? I want you to time me, right? How long does it take me to say that? You ready? You got your timer on? Ready? One, two, three. Be clean. Who do you think you're messing with? That's a split second. Oh, you think, oh, well, can you just imagine what's going to take place in a twinkling of an eye? Huh? Yeah, that's good stuff right there. Here, let me get back. A split second in that, do you know what all happens to that guy in that split second? All the white, scaly skin suddenly becomes skin like a baby pink, pretty with an oily kind of glow to it. All those fingers, all those toes, the nose, the ears, the voice, the eyesight would have had to regenerate in that split second, just as Jesus was reaching for him. The guy was absolutely transformed miraculously by the word of Jesus, I am willing. That as Jesus reached out to touch him and gave him those words, he was cleansed before he touched him. Now that's a miracle. And that is the same thing. It is the same thing when we ask him for the forgiveness of our sins unto salvation. What took us a lifetime to get to him. And we come to him and say, Lord, forgive me. Boom! Millisecond. Your sins are forgiven. You're a bunch of dead Baptists. There's something wrong with you. Man, get up and say amen. In a millisecond, you have been transformed from death to life. Do you think this guy sat there and went, oh, thanks. Appreciate time. My wife's serving dinner. Good Lord, people. Here's a little bit of trivia. How many people in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how many people did Jesus turn away? The correct answer is nobody. Jesus says in John chapter 6, verse 37, now watch the wording. The one who comes to me. Oh, wait a minute. Who's the responsibility on there? Who's the responsibility on? The one who comes to me will in no wise be cast away. Now watch. Watch. I'm not going to get into a big thing here. I'm ready to close, actually. Because you've got to close on sweetness, right? Many didn't come. But some did. Many didn't come. But some did. And the ones that did, Jesus did not turn away. He did not cast out. Oh, here's one of these times that you're going to act dead and you shouldn't. That no matter who you are, no matter who you are, how dirty you are, Jesus will never ever turn away from you if you come to him. Oh. thank you. No matter who you are, no matter how dirty, no matter how sinful you are, He will cleanse you of all sin if you come to Him. Jesus is willing to cleanse and forgive you of the most horrific things. You say, horrific. I mean horrific. I don't care what it is. You say, Pastor, but I don't need to know. Jesus already does. But I tell you, He can look into our life. He says, you're the ones I'm coming after. It's you that I want. And do you know, this is what Jesus did at the cross? Except He went a step further than He did with the leper. Because what He would have had to have done with the leper in doing what He did at Calvary was to reach out, not to touch a man that was clean, but to touch a man that was still full of leprosy. And take that leprosy up on Himself personally, and then give to the man his cleansing. Now, for us here today, do you understand that this is exactly what Jesus did at Calvary? That is, He took all of that sinful leprosy from us, all of our sin, and He put it on Himself, right? And He died for our sins and to cleanse us for it, right? He died for our sins to cleanse us from it, and He has now clothed us in the righteousness of God. I stand before God clean. I mean, come on. Look, you know me. Mike, you know me. Where's John? I know John knows me. Clean. I'm going to do a happy dance. Interpretive movement in the Baptist field. And He clothes us in the righteousness of God. That I can be cleansed and stand clean before Him. And in doing this, Jesus says, I'm willing to make you clean. I'm willing to make you clean. Listen, friends, I don't know where all you have been, and I don't know what all you are wrapped up in, and I don't know how deep in you are. But I do know this. I know this. Before Jesus, I was full of sin. I shared something with my sister I was full of sin. And listen, there was a time I didn't even care about it. I was desensitized to it. That my life before Jesus, but that before Jesus willingly touched me, my life was ugly. I didn't want to be around anyone or anything but my sin and those who were wrapped up in it with me. But then one day, in the darkness of my solitude, Jesus came by and He touched me and He cleansed my soul so that I could be in His presence. Oh, and listen, when that happened, something else happened. I wanted the world to know it. So I came out of hiding in from the shadows into the open to the light. I wasn't ashamed anymore, but rejoicing, having peace, and I still do. Do you want to know why? I'm clean. I'm clean. I am clean by His blood, not mine, none of my blood, by His blood in His sacrifice. Now I want all people to know what Jesus has done for me. We call that a witness or a testimony. And listen, let me get this out here straight. I was not worthy. I was no way worthy. But because of him, in his willingness, in his goodness, I am worthy. So let me say this, and I'm closing, and I promise you I am. Jesus is willing to cleanse you, all of you, all of your unrighteousness. Uh-oh. Do you remember what I asked? When I first opened up and I said, who's the responsibility on here? If any are willing to come to me. Jesus is willing. The question is, are you? Are you willing? If that is you and you need to the cleansing power of Jesus Christ, when the music begins, you know what you need to do? You need to come to Jesus. Just go before him and say, I need to be cleansed. And his word promises he will no wise turn you away. Now, if you want to pass that up, I am so sorry. But if you have gotten that already, please say amen. Amen. Amen, right? You come, you fall before him. He will not turn you away. Let us pray. Father God, in these moments, I pray that you speak loudly into each of us personally. Please, Father, don't allow any person here to die in a current state of sinfulness. Sin, the thing that is eating away at us, that which is killing us spiritually, eternally, to be eternally separated from you. Don't, Lord, draw us to yourself, please. You want to heal. You want to forgive us. You're willing to do it, but are we willing to let you? Are we willing to surrender ourselves to you? Please don't, Father, please don't let anyone turn away. Please don't let that happen, Lord. Please don't let anybody turn away. Please, Father, bring conviction to the hearts that need you. And they will see and feel the need to fall at your feet for healing and salvation. And that you will cleanse all who come before you. May they come, Lord, without hesitation. In Jesus' name I pray. For your glory forever. Amen. Amen. Do you need cleansing? Don't be embarrassed. He's willing to give it. Listen, everyone who shouted amen that they've been cleansed, don't be embarrassed. We all need it. You come. Are you willing to receive it? You come.
Y'all please stand.
Jesus Christ, his Son, and now let the
as you leave this place and you've been cleansed, then go out here giving thanks. Giving thanks, but also tell someone else of what has happened to you, that that can also happen to them. And if you're here today and you're still on the fence and you say, look, I don't know. Listen, here's what I know. If any one single sin I've ever committed, I need to be cleansed. All right? So look, if that's you and you're on the fence, ask God to give you the faith to believe and trust. Very simply, just ask God to give you the faith to believe and trust and follow his leading. Amen? Amen. I love you all very, very deeply. And thank you for being here. And you're dismissed. God bless you.